What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bravo Critics. I'm Arielle.
And I'm Ricky. This is the place where we discuss pop culture news and all things Bravo.
Here, we mention it all while making it nice.
So grab a drink and hang with us.
Everyone's a critic.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Bravo Critics with Ricky and Arielle here. Today we are going to do a little catch up on Vanderpump Rules. It's been a minute since we've recorded, so we're going to talk a little bit of the Scandoval episode, reunion part one, reunion part two, and then maybe anything else that sort of happened in between there and some theories about the third part.
What's up, everybody? And yeah, and don't forget, we had Ariana's one-on-one with Andy Cohen on Watch What Happens Live. So she did not go to Howie Mandel. So we'll get to dive into all of that because she looked phenomenal.
She really did. And she had the solo spot. They didn't need someone else to like come and keep her company like they have with some of the other VPR people.
Yeah, I liked that look, that black lace look that she did with the little bodysuit. I like that almost better than her reunion revenge dress, the red dress.
That girl is booked and busy ever since this has all happened. Really, I mean, a lot just in like the last like 3 weeks, even since the finale aired. Because then we got a Good as Gold by Uber One commercial. She was doing something at Raising Cane's. There was another thing that I saw pretty recently too. It was about like betting or something, I think.
Oh, I'm not even sure. I didn't see a betting thing. I know she was doing a partnership with Bic for shavers, for razors. She did obviously the thing with Bloomingdale's. So she's done a lot. And then they mentioned on, which we'll dive into the reunion, obviously, but they even mentioned, Andy asked the girls, Katie and Ariana, how much they've made with the merch that they rolled out. And they made well over 200,000 with that merch. So they've been making some money. Money moves for sure. And it's well-deserved.
And meanwhile, the Toms are probably like looking for pennies in their couches.
Well, I think that they are all spiraling. You know, Tom Sandoval is trying to act like his music career is everything right now. But I can't believe that people are still going to see him. I don't know.
I know. And I'm going to be the person that also judges anyone out there that is against Sandoval, but you're still going to a show just to protest. Like, don't even give him that attention because he doesn't see it as like, oh, people are booing me, I should like not do this. He sees it as, look at all these people that showed up. They say that they're Team Ariana, but here they are.
Yeah, I mean, he's a narcissist, and I don't normally put labels on things, but I've done some reading on it, and he really is like a grade A example of what a narcissist, that is the definition. It's like, put a picture of him in the dictionary. It's wild. And if anything has kind of confirmed that for me, it's seeing the way that he's behaved over the last couple episodes when he was confronted with, you know, when they picked the cameras back up. And then the way that he behaved at the reunion, like, I'm going to say, and guys, bear with us. We may be a little bit all over the place. We're going to try to go in some sort of order, but there's really, this is a wild ride and we're going to go on that ride together. So I know that your head is spinning too. And that's just what it is. I mean, he was trying to have moments alone with Rachel at the reunion, unmiked. And the producer, they're like, nope, the girls are eating and they're being filmed. Like, go have some fucking lunch.
Well, and I saw someone saying that, like, they're showing, you know, the part right before that, you know, and they think that this is why he wanted to speak with her off camera. She was like being like, oh, I didn't realize that you guys were having intimacy again in January. Like, basically, like, why are you cheating on me, Tom? And it's like, excuse you, Rachel.
Yeah. Yeah. Excuse you, Rachel.
She clearly thought that things, I mean, like we saw in what was, you know, the original planned finale, she obviously was under the impression that they were in a really bad place. And I feel like she was trying to, like, continue to make, you know, Ariana be like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be with Tom, and, like, trying to get her to question it. And it's just like, first of all, that conversation still is just mind-blowing to me. And then just seeing some of these conversations that happened during the Scandoval episode.
Yeah, it's really, it's almost a situation where I could feel bad for her and then I don't. But where you're like, man, he really fucked with your head.
Yeah.
That man did a lot of manipulating and a lot of planning to live this double life, this ultimate double life. Like Ariana had mentioned, I think on Watch What Happens Live or maybe on her interview with Call Her Daddy, but I feel like she had said that he had that calculator app where he was hiding.
Oh, yeah, like everything. A vault
yeah.
type thing, like a hidden.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it's like, who? I mean, if you're needing that kind of app, like how much activity are you actually, you know, doing? That's not just like, oh, hooking up with a person here and there.
No, that's a full-blown double life. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, Rachel, but she did the dirt. She deserves the time. So she deserves whatever is kind of coming her way, I feel like, whether it's, you know, publicly or financially. You know, that's.
I do sort of agree with you, though. There were a couple points where I'm like, I'm not Team Rachel by any means, but I was like, I almost feel bad for this girl because she clearly is not a very mentally strong person and maybe has some sort of, you know, I'm not going to sit here and diagnose people, but I definitely think that something is not right there. Just the way that she reacts to things or lack of reaction. You know, the whole scene in the Scandoval episode where Rachel and Tom are talking and like she's like giggly and she's being so weird about it. And then she makes that fucking crazy ass comment and she like where he was like, you know, they're talking about like their relationship. And she's like, I don't know if I really want to be with someone that would like throw it all away just for some side chick. And it's like, are you out of your motherfucking mind?
Yeah. Like if you could do that to her, what makes me think you couldn't do that to me? And it's like, ding, ding, ding. The wires are starting to circuit a little. I mean, they're like starting to spark a little bit because yes, girl, if he did it to her, he could do it to you and he will.
And he probably already has.
Yeah, and then you know what part was interesting to me that I think that I've not really heard anybody say so far, and which I don't know why I haven't mentioned it, is that when Raquel and Sandoval saw each other at Raquel's apartment for the first time when cameras picked back up, in the I love you moment, she misheard him. Right? Thinking, saying that he was saying, I love you to her, but he was really talking about his family saying they love you, which to me is saying how much time did Raquel spend with his family? And then if you notice, she said, oh, do you not want to talk about, oh, you want to talk about that? Like she kind of like mumbled and then they went on to something else. Like,
she's like, am I allowed to talk about this or not? Like, am I like, going off of your script too far?
It's not common knowledge that we were literally hiding out at your parents' house. Like, that was like our fucking love den, our love city, state, whatever. And Ariana, I think on Watch What Happens Live, noted that his family did not reach out to her not once. And when you're with somebody for 10 years, that is the if you had a good relationship, like she said they did, they became, you would think that the mother would at least reach out.
You'd think that you'd get something.
Something! From a like, cousin, you'd almost a sister, even you a would something. Get,
like, you would even think that you'd get something crazy like, you know, obviously he's been getting a lot of fucking hate. You'd imagine that they'd almost be like, can you just like try to call your girls off? Like they're being a little bit mean and he's like going through a rough time. Like I'm almost surprised like that didn't even happen. But it's just like to hear like complete radio silence is
yeah.
crazy.
It's the whole situation is weird. So that scene just felt odd to me. I didn't like the way that didn't sit right with me. I was kind of like, huh, okay. And then.
Well, it's also interesting because previous reports were saying that he had taken her home, but his family wanted nothing to do with her.
Right. Around Christmas.
So it's like, who knows what the fucking truth is?
Yeah, because there's pictures of them in St. Louis together.
Because, I mean, God knows that man will lie. So it wouldn't surprise me if he was lying, saying my family loves you on camera just to make it somehow seem right that he's having this affair.
And but obviously then that proved that they were saying I love you to each other, which is just gross. That's gross.
It's super gross. And it's because it was just awkward when he's like, well, I meant I said they love you, but I do love you too. I was like, oh.
Yeah, that whole situation, like how he was screaming at Ariana, like let's rewind a little bit when him and because after that was that scene of him and Raquel in the apartment was right. He left his house and went there. So that was right after him and Ariana were going at it. And she had said they were going at it for hours. He threw beer cans at the wall. He was screaming at her, blaming it on her. Then we see him go to fucking Schwartz's house and tell Schwartz, well, she didn't follow me. She should have followed me, you know, and then she would have known what I was doing. It's like he was victim blaming all the way. And when she said to him, I would have followed you anywhere. I would have changed any part of myself for you. I was weeping.
It was like making me so fucking like ill watching that. I felt so sad. Just like all of the emotions like in my body were like literally like I wanted to throw up watching that scene between them. Yeah. And then him just being like, oh, you know, like shit happens, basically.
What killed me, and I said, please let this be editing. That can't be what he said, was when he said, we had some good times together. What? She says that she would have followed you anywhere and would have changed any part of herself for you. And you respond with, well, we had some good times together. What the fuck?
And it's like, well, those don't even matter anymore, so thank you.
I just can't. So that's that you know... She really, I don't know. I feel like she really held herself together well. What else did you expect this girl to do? I think that the ladies rallying around her was fantastic. We got to see the return of Kristen Doty to the television screen. I mean, that was, I'm here for it. I was there for it.
And then we just saw Schwartz being a fucking dumbass the entire episode again. I loved it when he went over there and like, Katie's like, so when did you know? And he's like, well, when did you know, Tom? That doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. Like,
you know,
get the answers, girl.
You know what kind of killed me? And I felt like, I think it might have been one of the moments where Schwartz was like, wow, a little bit of a realization moment was when he was saying, like, dude, they're destroying us. They're annihilating us. And Sandoval said, well, stay off the internet.
Yeah. I was like, clearly, Schwartz is Sandoval's little pet.
Yeah, and then, like, even at the reunion, there were times where it was the skiing or the snowboarding situation where they were having that discussion where Schwartz was looking at Sandoval, and he's like, Tom, like, tell them. Like, he was looking at him like, back me up. Have my fucking back here. And yeah. Tom literally crickets. He was not there to defend. And Schwartz was like, what the fuck? So
it was kind of giving me Jen Aiden when she was like, Bill, say something, Bill. Speak the fuck up.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so I feel like it's been a wild ride. And, you know, we haven't even touched on, you know, Raquel basic. Well, and also I feel like we could have gotten a little bit more of Raquel. Like, we've already went full through a couple reunion episodes and we have not had much Raquel. Like, I feel like she has been so resistant to record or vocalize any thoughts. Like, even when they were doing like the little snippets of the one-on-ones with Andy,
she's smart though, because the fucking like 10-20 minutes of her that we have seen since this whole scandal episode, none of it's making her look good. So the less time she has on camera, the better for her, because she's just sitting there fucking smiling like a fucking
in her villain. Suit coat. In her fucking suit coat. I mean, it's like, come on, what, you think you wear a suit coat? So you're going to look like, you have a blazer on, so I'm going to look more honest.
Like, yeah, right.
Anyways, I could say so many things, but I'm just
I know. I feel like for me, the most heartbreaking part about the Scandoval episode, surprisingly to me, was watching Sheena confront Tom.
You know, Sheena sure does find a way to make it about herself. I'm not going to lie. Initially watching that, I kind of got a little annoyed. I got a little annoyed just because I was like, okay, Sheena, this is not like your brother or your firstborn. Like, and you're like hysterically sobbing like that. Like, I get it to be sad, but like Ariana's not even sobbing like that. So fucking get it together a little bit. But
I feel like they did a better job putting it in context at the reunion too, though, of like, this bitch was getting served with like protective orders and stuff like that. 100%.
And like, well, and I got it where she was coming from. And then I also said, reminded myself in that scene, Ariel, you're watching Sheena Shea. This is who she is. Dramatic. Like, if we got anything else from her, it would not be authentic. This is authentic to her. She truly feels this in her soul, but she's so fucking dramatic. But it really is true. Like, when I saw her at the reunion, I had it in full context, even watching it. That was just a little bit of the emotion that kind of fluttered in my soul, but it really is true. She's a mom. I've done everything for you. I took you under my wing. I financially supported you. I stood and rode for you so hard against everybody. And then this is how you repay me. And then you're now jeopardizing me and my child. Like, don't come after me and my child, because now I will fuck you up. Like, everything like, they said I did to you, I'll fucking do way worse to you now. Like,
and it's like, don't come for my money, because you're also trying to accuse me of like violence, and people don't like that kind of shit. Don't try to put that in my record.
Well, let's talk about her fucking fraudulating her vaccine card to be on the show. I mean, come on, Rachel, let's talk about it. So I'm just saying, you sign a contract and there's certain stipulations. Whether you're a vaxxer or anti-vaxxer, that has no anything here. It's just basically you signed a contract. If you get caught breaking the contract, then you need to pay the repercussions. It's
like, it's just being a dishonest person. Doesn't matter again, your opinion. You're being a fucking liar.
History fucking proving, right? If you lie, you will steal. If you'll steal, you will cheat. If you cheat, you'll fucking kill. It's just the way it fucking goes. Okay.
Yep. And I mean, I feel like also getting the COVID vaccine is the least of her worries when she's over there getting injected by fucking Tom Sandoval.
I'm going to be telling you, oh my God, he did the injection joke, everybody. I just want to clarify, Ricky just did an injection joke.
I mean, she's so concerned about what's going into her body, like, good God.
Oh my God, all the toxins from that white nail polish. Could you imagine? But oh my gosh.
4-year-old little cocky cock.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so let's shift gears just a little bit, because James Kennedy, DJ James Kennedy, deserves a moment. Because while we needed it, now we're like, okay, James, calm down, sit down. Like Andy said it best, sit in your fucking seat. Okay, sit down. But he really did give me a lot of funny laughs in the reunion. You know, poo-poo head, that's probably my favorite. Worm with a mustache. And then, you know, my DJ career will do more than ever you will ever do your band.
I just needed him to, like, that's one of his problems, is he can't just, like, sit there and, like, go in and just, like, eviscerate the person without just, like, fucking losing it. And, like, he was literally running off of the reunion set.
And what was the way with that weird door?
I know. I was like asking Kyle, I was like, do you think that that's like the doorway to another set? And like, there's like a house on the other side of that. Like
the part that killed me. And I know you didn't care for Allie being there so much, or you were like, we could have done without her. I actually enjoyed Allie, because it actually really shows, gives me some perspective in looking at when you do comparisons to like James, when he brought Raquel onto the show, right? Raquel was a fan. She scouted him out at See You Next Tuesday. She got her way onto the show. She finagled her way to where she is now, right? Then you also have Allie, who obviously watched the show, was a fan of the show, met James Kennedy. But the difference between the two of them is that Allie has a voice, and she, while she may be soft and sweet and kind, I don't really think that she plays that game, and she's not an idiot. So it was funny to watch her say to Lala, has he been like this all day? Like, he's really been wild and like this all day. Like, yes, bitch, he's been on one. And she was like, everybody deserves therapy, but especially James. Like, this man needs it. But then you see her enable him a little bit with the drinking thing. So it's like, but is this man really an alcoholic, or did he just wild out in his 20s and he's on television? Like, you know, I mean, there's,
I don't think he's maybe necessarily an alcoholic per se, but I think he has an abusive relationship with alcohol.
Yes.
I think that those things can be, you know, exclusive of each other.
No, I agree. And so that's why I'm like, you know, who are we as an audience to really diagnose? And then that's what I thought was really great when Lala kind of stepped in and said, you know, this is very something very personal to me as a sober individual of almost 4.5 years. You know, Tom and Schwartz, or Sandoval and Schwartz, you guys are the last people that should be commenting on his drinking or his addiction at all, because you guys use it in such an unhealthy fashion as well. And then, you know, Schwartz or Sandoval's like, yeah, but it didn't lose us business, and you know, he lost us business, and he's slapping girls on asses. And it's like, really? Because we're watching you
slap Rachel's ass with your girlfriend right there.
I can't.
The AKA Rachel's best friend.
It's, I mean, what was he doing to Rachel in that hot tub when he was next? I mean, I can only imagine where his hand was.
I don't even fucking know.
You know what I mean? It's like, come on. So that's the shit I'm talking about. You're feeling up but one bitch while you're sitting here with your wife. Like, it's crazy to me. Crazy!
And it's really crazy. And he feels so justified by it, too. And, like, even seeing, you know, them at the reunion and in the Scandoval episode, like, saying shit like, you know, if she wanted to know where I was, she should have followed me. And it's like, excuse me, you're saying that she should have distrusted someone that you have, like, told her that she should trust, and you gaslight this woman into trusting you, but now you want to say, well, she shouldn't have trusted me, she should have gotten in her car and followed me.
Mm-hmm. And then she's
like, also, it turns out you were at Schwartz's house, because apparently he's the fucking common denominator here. And it like, they, you know, in the preview
for ding, next ding, week, ding.
For episode 3, they're like, this is like incestuous and dirty when they're talking about the three of them. And it's like, it is. Something weird is going on there. The big revelation in part 3, I feel like it's going to be something like, we're in a fucking throuple.
I know. It's not going to be that good. That's what I think. We're going to be so disappointed with whatever the fuck it is. Like, some of the theories are, okay, LVP's moving to Vegas and or wherever, and that, you know, if you want to be on the show, you're going to have to go to the cocktail garden or whatever. I don't fucking know. Or maybe it's going to be that, you know, Rachel had a miscarriage or an abortion or got pregnant or that whole thing. Maybe there was some sort of truth to that. Or maybe it's going to be that she did have some sort of breakdown, or that she did sleep with Schwartz, or I don't know. But I don't think it's going to be that juicy. I don't think she had a miscarriage. I don't think she had an abortion. I don't think that Rachel was pregnant. I don't think that she did fuck Schwartz. Like, I don't think any of those things really happened, but those are what's being thrown out there, right? These are things that folks are throwing out in the Bravo universe. These are not coming from
Rachel. People are writing really hard at first for LVP new, and it's like, you guys are just too ready for LVP to, like, basically be like an active participant in this whole.
Yeah, and she's just not, she even, like, commented. She tweeted about. Okay, I want to ask you, what are your thoughts? Because people have been vocal. What are your thoughts on LVP's defending Tom so much at the reunion? Do you think that, like, at the when she kind of went at Lala a little bit, like, what do you think of that situation?
I think that she's just trying to stay as, like, a part of the show. So she's like, I need to, like, she's not going to sit there and rip apart her business partner. And this is, like, where it gets awkward, because it's also like, obviously Ariana's never going to go to that bar, but it's a little unfair for her to, like, cut out LVP, because LVP has done a lot for her too.
Yeah, no,
and,
I agree.
Like, she's like a mother figure, and I think that, like, it's basically like as if, like, I don't know. I guess in my mind, I always do think of her as, like, the mom of the group. And so when she sees that two of her kids are fighting, she is just trying to play devil's advocate.
I get it.
Obviously, I think she's team Ariana, but I think that she's just, especially in that first episode, I think she was just like, let's reel it in a little bit, guys. Because I mean, literally the episode started with, like, Andy being like, anything you want to say before we get started? And, like, Tom's literally just like, and then James, like, like, literally they lay into him the second he says one word. I think LVP was like, all right, reel it in. We've got 10 hours today. I can't sit here and, like, deal with, like, all this childish shit.
And Lala goes, oh, I'm ready. We're ready. Let's
yeah.
go. Like, yeah. No, I thought that was actually phenomenal television. Well,
and that's where,
like, the finest TV I've almost ever seen.
And that's where, like, I am enjoying a little bit of the James stuff, but he's almost being, like, too wild with it. Whereas, like, Lala, she's got that same white hot fury, but she can express herself so much better.
Yeah, she's very much, you know,
she's grown up so much.
She's very direct. She's got a sharp tongue. And, you know, if you are someone like me who's really, like, rode with Lala over the years, one of her sayings has always been, sticks and stones, bitch, sticks and stones. My parents have taught me since a young age, sticks and stones. I will fucking destroy you with my words and make you cry, but I will never lay my hands on you. That's where her and James are very different, right? Because we saw James and Sandoval, like, I will fuck you up, dude. You know, you're a woman with a mustache. That's when that whole scene transpired. And then Andy's cards. Poor my Andy. Cars. My cars. And then he goes, I see myself and I look so, like, such a crybaby. But I'm like, oh, Andy, you know, that's got to, you know, it's got to be exhausting. Especially since that he's really just does the reunion. He's not, like, really involved in that show so much. So it's kind of funny for him. I think he probably enjoys that show a little bit more, like, doing those reunions more than he enjoys doing the housewife reunions.
Oh, for sure. Because, I mean, especially with, like, Vanderpump Rules, since he's, like, not, like, involved in the same level as Housewives, right. He's not getting, like, probably dozens of texts and calls and right. fights about placement, because he's probably like, I'm not part of this.
He still calls
placement when Andy was telling Tom, like, oh, we're going to have you scoot down. And Ari, I was like, no, you're not. I was like, damn.
He looked at her and he was like, oh, okay.
Didn't even question it. Just like, yeah.
Okay. Yes. I love that he knew his place in that moment.
So I think he's sort of afraid of all of them.
Yeah. I think that Katie, Ariana, and Lala are not to be fucked with at this reunion. I wish that Sheena could have been on the other side of the stage with them. But I get it. But when Katie, which is going to come up in the third part, when Katie says, you're an asshole and she's a cunt.
Yeah.
So good. I live for that moment. And I'm like, mic drop. That's all we need.
I mean, I have said this, I think, before, but this was Katie's season.
Yes.
She came out and she was right about everything that she said was going on. She stuck to her convictions. And also, like, she looks fucking amazing at this reunion.
Yes. I will say it again. I told you also, I have rode for Katie and Lala 4 years. They have always been my girls. I'm not one of these people that just jumped on the bandwagon. I love these fucking bitches. And they are, I feel like Katie is getting her redemption season. She's being vindicated for all the bullshit that she's had to put. Like,
all the gaslighting that Schwartz has done to make her look like this awful cunt of a person.
And you know what? And she said it this season before Scandoval broke. There was a scene where she had said, there's going to come a time where people are going to pick a place and a side in this divorce, and they're going to pick Schwartz. And that was so upsetting for her. And now we're like, no, Schwartzy isn't as innocent as everybody thinks that he is. He has been holding on and basically being an active participant in an affair. And it wasn't like it was 2 months. It was 7 months. It was seven and months. You knew
for that entire period.
You went on vacations. And then the whole Joe thing, that whole thing's weird too.
I know. I don't even know who the fuck Joe is, but I loved when Katie's like, yeah, she's a fucking creep.
Yeah, well, they talk about her in the season earlier. She basically was Kristen Doty's best friend, who was, like, really kind of, like, witchy and weird. And then, I don't really know what that means. So, anyways, but witchy and weird. But anyway, so they said that she's, like, you know, like, she's weird. And they basically said that she moved in to Schwartz's apartment just because she kind of needed somewhere to, like, lay her head. And then they basically started fucking. But in the season, when Sheena comes to Schwartz's apartment to do the podcast episode, the infamous podcast episode that's referenced all season, right? That really kind of started the domino effect of the downfall between Sheena and Katie. That was at Schwartz's house. And Schwartz's house, he still had boxes and shit everywhere. And Sheena's like, I truly believe him when he says he's not fucking her. Because I'm looking around this place and I don't think any girl would really be down to like be fucking him in this situation. Like it's that much of a hoarder situation almost, you know? But then come to find out, the bitch moved in and they were doing the damn thing. So there you go.
Well, I think it's also, I mean, there are so many people out there, not just women, guys do this too, that are willing to hook up with a person under any circumstances, really, just because they want to be able to say that they've like hooked up with a quote unquote celebrity, someone that's on a TV show. You might be able to get on the show because you fucked them, that kind of thing. Like there's so many people out there. And I mean, Raquel is a perfect example of that. So it's probably like Joe's just another one of these like common ass hoes lining up to get railed by these disgusting fucking boys and try to get on TV.
No, for sure. And then if you notice, Katie's like, oh, she completely blocked Kristen the day after she moved in with Schwartz. Weird.
It's weird. Especially if you're like alleged such good friends and stuff like that.
Yeah. And like, how long though? Like best friends for how long? Like, was she around when Kristen was on the show?
Probably not. Cause I feel like it's someone we would have met.
Yeah. That's or they would have had a flashback or something. Several like right?
periphery friends of this group.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I part two of the reunion to me just wasn't as good.
Agreed.
I feel like they needed to like it's like we're all watching this because we want to talk about Scandoval, not because we want to talk about anything else from this season. So let's keep it moving. Like I said, I didn't really need the whole thing with Allie because it's like, why are we showing this girl these clips of James? And James being awful because then she's just sitting here being like, oh, you know, but I still love him. You know, I get why, you know, obviously I've never liked Sandoval. So this has been sort of a moment of joy for me seeing him finally get his own. But I think that it is so important for people to remember that James isn't necessarily the greatest guy. Like he may be like the quote unquote number one guy in the group right now. But, I mean, it doesn't really take much to get that position.
Said Time Magazine. He's like, I was in Time Magazine. Yeah. Okay, I want to play a quick game with you because, you know, I feel like I just said, our girls came in really strong in this reunion. James came in super hot. Schwartz had an approach. We'll just call it that, an approach. And
his approach was to try to just be as like comedic little like weird stuff. Like, I'm going to pop some pills. I'm going to do some push-ups. Like, what are you doing, dude?
Fucking weird. And then we had Sheena and Sandoval. Okay. If you could choose one word to describe each cast member so far in the reunion, what would it be? If you had to go with Lala, go.
Fierce.
What?
Yeah, I would say she's being fucking fierce.
Okay, okay.
Like, without she, it? Like, literally with those, like, nails, like, I'm scared. Like, I'm not even at the fucking reunion. I'm like, she could scratch me on my couch right now. Like, she just feels, like on fire. Like, just, like, yeah. Looking at her, you can see, like, don't fuck with this bitch.
Yeah, the outfit was definitely, she said when she put extensions in her hair.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's when she like gets a whole, she's like Sasha Fierce. She gets a whole new personality. Okay, who was she sitting next to? Was it James? Okay, James. One word to describe James.
Extra.
Okay, Katie.
Winning.
Okay.
And elegant, kind of. I just love how she's just sitting there and like, I'm glad that she finally gets to like have this like smug moment where she's like, oh yeah, look at the three of you dumbasses. Like, I've been saying Sandoval's a bad guy for years. My husband was a bad guy, and this bitch has always been a dumbass.
Yes, agreed. Okay, Ariana.
Angry. I think it's definitely like what Andy said. Like, I feel like you've moved on from like the sad phase to like the anger phase, but I don't mean it in like a way where she doesn't seem like she's like blinded by the anger, but she's finally able to like, she's not like being like some weak girl that's like, Tom, I get what you did, but it just broke my heart. She's being like, no, you fucked my best friend. You're done.
Yeah.
Look at the side of my head. Don't look me in the face.
She's like,
don't look at this. You don't deserve this. Like, talking about like her body.
That was so amazing. And okay, what did we
think? She's doing a really good job staying composed too.
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, what do we think of Sandoval? One word.
Broken. Don't you think he doesn't seem like himself at all.
I agree. If I had one word to describe him, would be unwell.
Yeah, because the narcissistic tendencies are still there, but that man is a broken man.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
His ego is not well right now, at least at this reunion.
In the words of Dorinda, not well, bitch.
Exactly.
What about Schwartzy?
Dumbass.
Okay.
I mean, that's really the only way to describe him, because like he's like, he always just tries to present these points that are just so fucking ignorant. And it's just like, dude.
There's no argument here. There's no argument here, my friend.
Like, I was trying to think of what the best example would be, because I was just thinking about it a minute ago.
He's such a clown. It's just really like, it is. It's just, he's a joke. He's a coward.
He really is. And it's just like, I feel like he's maybe starting to realize a little bit that Tom's not that great of a friend. But I think at this point, he's like, this is all I've got, because I don't think the other side of the cast is going to welcome him back so quickly. Because, yeah. I mean, he may not be like completely iced out like Sandoval and Rachel, but it's going to take him a long time to be able to try to get back in there with any of them.
Yeah. And I'm curious when. Okay. So we have one more. What about Sheena? One word for Sheena.
Sheena.
Yeah.
Like, she was literally
Holden.
She was just doing the Sheena thing. She looked good. I felt really bad when she was talking about the restraining order and all of that stuff, because you can tell it really did take a toll on her.
Yeah.
And it was also just really sad, obviously, to see when, well, this was, it was just so crazy when Andy asked Sandoval, do you believe that Sheena hit Rachel? And like that pause in there that he had, I was like, this is one of the longest, most awkward pauses I've ever seen on TV. I was like, this is like from those fucking commercials, like break open a fucking Twix right now, because at least just be like, I'm not sure what I believe. You know what I mean? And then he's like, well, Sheena did say, like, I was like, okay, he made a fucking choice. It took him that long to make that decision, but he was like, all right, I guess I'm sticking up for my side piece, because at this point, she's the only one that's going to accept me.
And the fucked up part about it, though, is when he's like, it was almost reminiscent of the very first opening scene of the reunion, where he was like very theatric, where he was kind of like, I don't really want to damage my relationship with Sheena. And then Ariana snaps him back into reality when she's like, you don't have a fucking relationship with her, you know, like, and so she. And then he's like, oh, okay, yeah, you're right. These motherfuckers don't fuck with me. Okay, so what Rachel said. Well, no, I'm joking. You know, like, that's exactly what
obviously that now Ariana's the number one guy in the group. She's telling Andy where people are going to be sitting. She's telling you are not friends with Sheena Shea. She doesn't even ask what Sheena responded. She's just like, you're not friends with her anymore. You're done.
So good. So yeah, so there, I feel like the reunion has been great. I feel like the gals kind of standing up to Lisa a little bit was nice, where they're like, no, you're defending the Toms too much. You're taking it too far. Like, I reject that. Like, you could say whatever you want. I honestly don't think Lisa needed to be there. Or she could have came in for like a portion. I don't think that Lisa needed to be like, and at this point, these motherfuckers are so fired up. Like, shut up.
Like, yeah. Well, and I think that's where they're going to have to make some decisions soon of, like, what her, like, role in the cast is. And it's sort of similar to Married to Medicine, because Mariah was an executive producer. She's sort of the one that, like, came up with the idea of this show.
Side note, everybody, I just started watching Married to Medicine.
I know. That's why I'm like, she'll get this reference soon. But Mariah is an executive producer on that show. And like, she sort of like comes and goes like as a full-time friend of. So it's just like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the look of this show should be in the future either, especially like whatever this alleged bombshell is. They are making it sound like people may not want to sign contracts.
Well, and Andy doesn't even know about this bombshell, so it can't be that big. So who knows? But I feel like if they maybe explore, you know, Bravo, I think you listen. I'm just saying. So if you're listening, listen to this. I feel like they were exploring and onto something really good with the Vanderpump Valley situation, and it is time to explore that avenue again. You know, we just had Sheena or Lala buy a house near Sheena. James just bought his house, but he's in the Valley. He's not in Palm Springs. I don't know if you want to. I don't really think I need Jackson Brittany back, but, you know,
let's. My pitch is, I've said this before, just make the show about the girls. The
girls
make,
and the babies.
Like a real girlfriends of WeHo or.
But they're not all, they don't all live there. That's
or, the problem. You know, I'm saying like real girlfriends of Valley Village, real girlfriends of something. I don't know. You know what
because,
I mean?
Because, you know, like.
Rebrand this show.
Yeah, because like what we don't see is like Sheena does not live in West Hollywood. She literally lives in Palm Springs. She's hours of a drive away. Yeah. So when she's filming, she knows that she's got to dedicate a lot of that commute time. And Lala just bought her house next door to Sheena. So, you know, but I know that she also has a spot in WeHo. So maybe Sheena may need to come get a little apartment pad for the summer in WeHo.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's what the vibe should be. She should just get like a place to stay in the city for the summer. And
I would be okay with them doing that and following the girls on this new journey. I'd love to see Christina Kelly back and see her as a new mom. Like, I would really, it doesn't have to always be like chaos.
Well, that's my thing too, is like, The show could be good without being boring because it doesn't have drama, but also not like it doesn't have to be like at a level 100 every time.
Because life is wild, just as is, like in the shit that can come to you. Like it really has, and now here we are. Now we're talking about like reality television as a whole. It has really kind of spiraled into this web of deceit and like turmoil and
angst. Well, shows like this. Like what we're seeing right now sort of like makes you like think about reality TV on like a whole different level.
I mean, look, we had Teresa Giudice go to jail. I mean, first we thought it was something amazing when like Teresa had her baby on television. Kourtney Kardashian pulled Mason out. Like those were pivotal moments, right? That were like unheard of. But I mean, there was once a time when the real world was unheard of. Put these bitches in a fucking house without a television, without a phone for a couple weeks. That might be fun too. We could use a little ultimate girls trip just of our Vanderpump girls. Start throwing them and do a winter house version in Virginia Beach or something with the ladies of Vanderpump. Like, come on. We're ready. They're ready to spread their wings. And then something about her. So in the reunion, they said that something about her was supposed to open at the end of May. We are now in June, and it has not opened, but
the pictures just over the last week looks like a lot of progress has been made.
Yes, a lot of progress has been made, and they are set to open. No, they're opening. They said they're opening probably by the end of June. So that is going to be, when do they pick up cameras again?
Well, that's the thing, is like they're thinking that they're going to go on some sort of like pause to let this like cool down, because then they're probably, I'm thinking that they're hoping that if they let it cool down, some people, maybe not Ariana or Katie, would like be willing to like film with Sandoval or Rachel, which I don't think that's gonna happen. And that's where it's like, I know that Bravo would like to keep Sandoval and Rachel and Schwartz just for, you know, because people want to see what's next with that situation. But no one's going to film with them. Not a single person on that side. And I think that if they do, you're going to be dead to like the core group of girls.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. So I don't think that.
Because I feel like Lala, Katie, and Ariana, and maybe even Sheena too, are like, you know what? This is our show now. And if you don't want to do things our way, you can fucking leave.
I mean, majority wins. And guess what? They have James on their side too.
Yeah. I wish that Ariane would have given a little bit of that Teresa reunion energy and been like, I'm so glad I'll no longer ever have to see you again after today. Oh, are you going? No, you're leaving the show. I'm surprised Ariane is not like, you're fired. You're fired. You're fired.
You're cool. Yeah. And you're fired.
She's just like total take control right now.
Yeah. No, I definitely feel like Ariana had that main character energy. She held herself with great composure, great respect. I admire her. I think she's a beautiful woman who is going to just go up from here. And if I, you know, what I can say about her is that the world is really her oyster now. She was being second, you know, character energy. That's what she was giving off, Nexus Animal, because he overpowered her. He has,
like, bigger dreams. He's always got to be, like, the center of attention.
So now she can spread her wings. And I would not be surprised, because I heard it's coming back this year. So if there are anybody, I know that CBS is kind of adverse to NBC, but I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised if I saw her walking on the Victoria's Secret runway for the freaking show this December, because it's coming back. I mean, maybe we'll see Sierra there, because she's working for Victoria's Secrets now, too, from Summer House. She's hot. She's hot. But anyways, I'm just saying, the world is little Ariana's oyster.
Well, I know, and I think I'm going to be really excited to see part three. Like I said, part two is okay. You know, Sheena's shouldn't be punished because of this restraining order. And it's nice that they gave her two full episodes. But I needed them to bring out Rachel sooner, because now we're only getting 42 minutes of them getting their attacks on Rachel. I agree more.
I will say this. Sheena gave way more main character energy in the trailer with her white claw and her emotion than Rachel ever did. And can we make one more other side note? The fact that Rachel in the trailer was listening to Sheena's heartbreak and devastation, okay, about her. And she just said, oh my gosh, I'm like having so many new realizations as I'm watching this. How is that the
first time? I should have sent her a note.
Why is that the first time she thought of it, Ricky? Why did, like, Sandoval and her never have this conversation where it would even be something that crossed her mind, when, like, Sandoval actually went and shot and had this heartbreaking conversation with Sheena? Did he leave that apartment and not even report back to Raquel on how it went? Are they like consulting each other on every single step, every single conversation? Because you would think when you are the two most hated people in your orbit that you would be like, I don't care if we want to even be together, we're going to have to band together at least for a certain amount of time, because we have to fucking stick together.
We're alone here.
So it's just, it is crazy to me that that was just something that just came to her mind. Oh, I should, yeah, like you said, I should have wrote her a note. That when she... I was like, this is not real life. And then I really want to hear what Sheena's going to say, like, on her podcast or publicly, once she sees that air and she could talk about it publicly. Because they did try to even talk to her about the restraining order and everything, and she was just basically like, and that was the only time you saw Raquel's head kind of perk up. Like, she was packing her bag, getting ready to, like, make her way on the stage. And then when they brought up the court stuff, you did see Raquel, like, perk her ears a little bit. She wanted to hear what Sheena had to say. So there is a little bit of calculation in, like, there, not a little bit, there's a lot of bit of calculation, but you saw it in her eyes.
And that's what I'm saying is, like, she's not as dumb as everyone thinks she is. If she were that dumb, she wouldn't have been able to get away with whatever her and Sandoval were doing for 7-8 months. Yeah. Or if it turns out to be longer, who the fuck knows?
Can I say one? Can I give you one?
Again, this whole trailer scene, this is why I think that she's not all there.
Well, just, can I?
Like, the way, so send her a note. You think? You sent her a fucking restraining order, bitch.
Oh my God, I know. Okay, I have a conspiracy theory. My theory is that there was a chance that this might be the reveal. That there was a chance that Raquel was sleeping with Sandoval when she was with James, and they had a deal to, like, break up with their spouses, and she went through with it and he didn't. and the affair prolonged. So I think it's going to be revealed that they had been together for much longer than we even really know about. I think that that's going to be the revelation. I could be wrong, but I mean, only time will tell. And like Ricky said, we're only going to get probably a 45-minute episode, maybe a few extra minutes on the extended version with Peacock. But I think that we're going to have to just take what the fuck we can get this next episode, because Rachel's not going to be talking anytime soon after that. So
I feel like we may have seen the last of her.
I think that we may have seen the last of her, at least for quite some time. So, you know,
as of the time we're recording this, she's been in a mental health facility, or that's at least what's being said, or she's hiding out. Since we last recorded, they were also saying that she's hiding out in Tucson and she's pregnant at her grandma's house.
All this is alleged, right?
Alleged. We don't know where she is. Who knows? But I think she's in the wind now. I think that her parents have probably told her that she needs to get it together and not go back.
Well, you know what? I will say this. I wish her well. I wish her well, and I hope that she is okay, and hopefully she takes care of herself and she can bounce back from this in some time. But I think she needs to go live her life out of the spotlight. I think we need to focus on our girl Ariana, shine some light on her, continue to raise her up, and onward and upward for her. That's kind of ultimately where I land on that. So, but you guys know that all the Vanderpump info, all the Vanderpump scoop you can get over here with the critics, right? So make sure you're following me at Bravo and T, and you're following Ricky at That Bravo Gay, and then the collective podcast at Bravo Critics. And rate, like, subscribe, give us the love, okay? Because we need all that goodness. We need that positive affirmations.
We wanted you guys to tell us that we're good as gold.
That's a good one. That was a good one. All right, guys. Well, we love you. And until next time.
Cheers.